Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So, men, those routine PSA blood tests recommended by your doctor to screen for prostate cancer may soon be a thing of the past, at least as routine tests. The U.S. Preventative Services Task Force is advising healthy men not to take PSA blood tests as a routine screening device anymore. They cite that there is not enough evidence to suggest that PSA testing actually decreased the death rate from prostate cancer. In fact, the task force says PSA, which stands for prostate-specific antigen, it measures the amount of protein that the prostate gland creates, may actually harm patients due to unnecessary tests, and therefore they'll wind up with impotence, infections, other medical procedures and surgeries that may not be necessary. And here to explain more about this controversial recommendation is New York Times science correspondent Gardner Harris. Hi, Gardner. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Glad to be here.
So what changed?
Basically, the science over the last 4 years has evolved. And the thing is, Brian, that the assumption in cancer is always that the more you screen, the more information you get, the better. And that assumption actually does not always work. And there have been a variety of clinical trials done over the last several years that put this assumption with prostate cancer to the test. And those clinical trials basically found that that not only was the test not useful, but it looked as if that those who got tested most often fared the worst.
Those who got
tested more fared worse.
Why?
And basically, the reason is, and none of us in medicine, I'm not in medicine, I'm not a doctor, but none of us sort of who cover healthcare or think about healthcare like to think about the idea that healthcare might actually make you sick. Unfortunately, that's what often happens. Brian, you've talked before about medical errors. There's a lot of things that happen in a hospital that can make you sick, infections and the rest. And the same is true here. This test is so basically inaccurate, and prostate cancer is so endemic in men. You know, by the time you're 65, you've got basically even odds of having some cancer in your prostate. And by the time you're in your 80s, 3/4 of men have cancer in their prostate, according to sort of studies of autopsies. But it's not a cancer that's probably going to kill you. And that's essentially where the dilemma comes, which is that the PSA test ends up leading to further testing like biopsies. Those biopsies reveal that you have cancer in your prostate. And the question then becomes, what should you do about that? And I think for many men, the answer is, and for many people in this country, you can't sort of stand the idea that there is cancer in your body. And the common wisdom is, then you take it out. But the problem with doing a prostatectomy and other treatments is that they cause a lot of problems in and of themselves. They cause impotence. They cause incontinence. There are risks of infection. There are the routine risks with surgery. And so for a lot of men, the cancer in their prostate wasn't going to kill them, but actually treating the cancer in their prostate can.
So listeners, anybody have questions about prostate cancer screening? Doctors? How about any urologists listening right now? I don't know what the urologist population is at 10:50 in the morning tuning into the radio, but if you're out there, we want to hear from you. Or a family physician, anybody who screens men of a certain age, do you recommend the PSA test for routine screening, and will you after this? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Men with your It Saved My Life stories, men with your It Ruined My Life stories, 212-433-9692 for Gardner Harris, New York Times science correspondent, on these new government recommendations against routine PSA screening for prostate cancer.
And Brian, what often happens is that, you hear these stories all the time. I got a PSA test. I then got a biopsy. I found out that I had cancer in my prostate. And we took it out, and God, that PSA test saved my life. Well, but what you don't sort of hear, and, you know, Rudy Giuliani made sort of a presidential campaign out of his prostate cancer, and he said that had he been in England where they had socialized medicine, he would have died. But what we found out in his divorce with Donna Hanover is that he became impotent, at least for a time. And, you know, what the question might have been is, had he been in the UK, would he have become impotent? And that's really the question here, because prostate cancer is a very, in most instances, a very, very slow-growing cancer. And so, you know, particularly when men get up in their late 60s and 70s, the whole idea of taking a screening for a cancer that might not kill you, you know, for 15, 20 years gets a little silly.
Yeah. Roger in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roger.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
I can.
All right. I thought the story was misleading. PSA tests do not result in surgery ever, period. All it does is indicate that there may be a problem. You then have to go through a series of ever-invasive tests, including CAT scans, nuclear scans, and a biopsy to determine, A, if you actually have cancer, B, the extent of spread, and then you decide what, if anything, you're going to do about it. All the PSA does is show that there may be a problem there.
Roger, thank you very much, because he's absolutely right, isn't it? There's nothing in the simple blood test that requires a doctor or the patient to follow up with these more risky and more painful procedures. They could get the test as an indicator and then just decide to watch and take it again next year and the year after that or in 6 months and see if the guy has high readings for 3 years and then maybe go in.
Right. So you get into sort of a situation of PSA anxiety, which is it becomes very difficult to sort of resist the follow-on tests when you get a PSA result that is sort of worrisome. So you do go for the CT scan. You do go for the biopsy. And, of course, biopsies themselves are very difficult to do accurately. I mean, they're painful in and of themselves. Usually you take just sort of one small biopsy that, because cancer can be in just a small part of the prostate but not in another, it's sort of, the more biopsies you take of the prostate, the more accurate the reading, but also, of course, the more likely you'll find some sort of cancerous result.
Right.
So that the PSA test itself, he's right, in and of itself is not, it's just a simple blood test, but it tends to lead to a sort of a cascade of other interventions that in these trials have shown that these men then lead to poorer outcomes.
Unless you and your doctor have the fortitude to resist those
Absolutely,
those more invasive follow-ups.
To do.
Right, when you know, and then you have that anxiety.
Why take a test if you're not going to listen to it?
I want to acknowledge that about a third of our board is people calling in to say, I'm a cancer survivor, and so I'm in favor of PSA testing, like Cal in Milburn. Cal, do it very briefly, but make that case.
I'm in my mid-70s. In 2001, my doctor said that he'd been testing PSA every year for me, and it was gradually going up from 3 to 4, and he recommended a biopsy. The doctor checked me out, said I had a very tiny cancerous growth. He recommended just simple radiation. I went for 28 days. It took about 15 minutes a day at St. Barnabas Hospital in New Jersey, and I came back fine. Uh-huh. And every year I go for PSA, I'm down to 0.1.
Huh.
Everything out of the way fast, and I avoided an operation later because if it had grown, I would have had a very painful, terrible operation.
Thank you. Gardner, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, absolutely. But radiation in itself, we didn't hear from Barnaby what side effects he suffered for that year or after. I mean, radiation in and of itself is not, you know, a side effect-free procedure. I mean, I'm not, you know, there are certainly, this is a sort of preventive screening is always a very difficult thing to figure out. And, you know, doctors, for instance, for decades, Brian, used to take chest x-rays of everyone because just to sort of see for lung cancer until they actually did a trial to see whether those who got chest x-rays survived more than those who didn't. And they found out that they didn't.
Mm.
And so preventive screening is one of those very strange things. Like, how can it be wrong to get more information? And of course, you will hear people who got a PSA test, had a biopsy, and found that there was not only cancer in their prostate, but there was cancer in their lymph nodes around their prostate. They clearly had an aggressive form of cancer. Right. And with those people, it really did save their lives.
I want to make sure to tie this before we run out of time, both medically and politically, to the controversy concerning this same government task force's recommendation for women to get routine mammograms
right.
less frequently. And apparently they delayed this recommendation on men not getting routine screening PSA tests because of the outcry over the mammogram recommendation, right?
That's right. That's right. And I mean, again, it's mammograms are sort of the data in mammograms is more equivocal. I mean, the data here are actually fairly clear that the PSA test does not work and actually is on the harmful side. In mammograms, particularly in women in their 40s, the data are sort of a wash. And if you want to get a mammogram, you can get a mammogram, which is what basically the panel said. But they recommended against routine screening of women in their 40s. And again, you know, the reason is, first of all, there is x-rays involved. I mean, you want to sort of limit your exposure to those as much as possible. If you talk to women who get mammograms, for many of them, it is an extremely uncomfortable process.
Right.
But of course, the message that you get from a lot of these cancer advocates organizations, because the only message they have is, you know, get screened as often as you possibly can, because it's something you can do. But the fact of the matter is that for much of healthcare, there isn't really anything you can do. You know, cholesterol, high blood pressure, half of people who drop dead of heart problems don't have high cholesterol, don't have blood pressure problems. It just happens. Yeah. And the same thing is true with cancer. I mean, there is a limited set of things that you can do, and it's not, it, for most people, these things are simply not going to change your outcome.
Gardner, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Is it possible that as a result of this recommendation, especially since it's a government recommendation, that Medicare is going to stop funding routine PSA screenings or outside the public sector that private insurance might?
It's not possible in Medicare because it's actually written into the legislation that they have to give PSA screenings. But it's certainly possible that private insurers are going to start asking more questions about some of the follow-up urological procedures like the biopsies mm-hmm. and the prostatectomies and the rest, and ask questions about whether those are really necessary.
Gardner Harris, medical correspondent for The New York Times, on the new recommendations from the government against routine PSA prostate cancer screenings. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Brian.